But I want to direct your attention to the text for today, Acts chapter 2, 1:21, and it could be called the Great Explosion, right? Hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mockingly said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. What God gives, the Holy Spirit. You must be one brave man to come down in a 100-mile-per-hour gale like this in a parachute, the farmer said to the young soldier. "I didn't come down like this in a parachute," said the soldier. "I went up in a tent." And to me, that's exactly the kind of feeling there must have been at that first Pentecost. What does it tell us? A violent wind, tongues of fire, ability to speak other languages, and each of these 11 men, these disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is celebrated as the birthday of the church. And by my reckoning, this is the 1,981st birthday of the church. Would you join me and let's just say happy birthday, church? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, church! This is the Christian church. It's the holy Christian church on earth. Pentecost is the Greek word meaning 50. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was given. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was the celebration of the wheat harvest, 50 days after the slaying of the Passover lamb. Shavuot, as it's called, also commemorated the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai to Moses. Pentecost is all about the mission that God has given every Christian to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming Him to be Savior and Lord over the whole world. Indeed, He is. Let me tell you something. Something is happening in our world today, and some have called it the new Pentecost. If you've read the article that Pastor Justin submitted in the GraceNet, you'll know what I'm talking about. But here it is. In Asia and Africa, Christianity is exploding. The Spirit is giving power and zeal in places where it's actually hard to become a Christian. And yet that's where the wind is blowing. A shocking report came out recently, and it reported that there are more Christians in communist China than there are in the United States. Now, of course, China has 3 to 4 times our population, but isn't that still amazing to you? In communist China, there are more Christians, and it's hard to be a Christian there in many ways. It's amazing. The churches there are growing, even with the oppressive conditions, and our churches are declining, growing smaller. I saw another report. The largest Protestant denomination is the Southern Baptist, right? And I think for the 7th straight year, they have declined. But so have we. And so is every major denomination in the United States. Now, they say the Catholics have grown some, but if you check participation, they've definitely shrunk as well. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does He do, and what would He do in us? The Holy Spirit is often called God in action. God in action. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father and to the Son. He makes up the one true God that we believe in and uphold, the triune God. In the Word of God, there's a deep conviction that no one can do the work of God without the Holy Spirit of God. No one can lead others for God who is not led by the Spirit Himself. Now, there's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was given to a few people. Moses, for instance, was overwhelmed with all the leadership of the Jews. So God comes to him through Jethro and says, give the responsibility to others. And so to many of the elders, the Holy Spirit is given. Part of the Spirit, it says, of Moses was given to them. But that's it. It wasn't given to all the other people. And yet, in the Old Testament, we see what happens there. The Spirit is given to certain people, like, for instance, Joseph, who began to reign in Egypt because, well, you can read it in Genesis. He was given the skill to rule. Joshua was given the skill to manage a great army. He was given military prowess. And it tells us that in Numbers 27:8, the Spirit was with him. The Spirit gave Bezalel skill and ability and knowledge to make articles for the tabernacle. In other words, God gave the Spirit to make him a great artist and a great craftsman. And he used this to serve God. And of course, we know about Moses. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But then comes Pentecost. And what happens on Pentecost? God begins with these 11 disciples, these 11 apostles, but it's just the beginning because He was going to pour out His Holy Spirit on any who believed, any who were called by God. And that is a powerful thing. I want to tell you how the Spirit operates. An illustration might be those deep sea divers off the coast of the Philippines. They go into the water and they're connected with an oxygen tube that come to them as they gather sponges up. They're connected always to that, so they work long hours. Just so, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is our lifeline to all believers, and He gives us life and power sustained from above. Another illustration in regard to the work of the Spirit is the word Spirit itself. The word Spirit is also the same word for wind. The Spirit is a wind, sometimes a hurricane, and sometimes a gentle breeze that refreshes us. He has the power to sweep us up, but He also has the power to gently, even subtly, move us. In the Word of God, we note the actions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything Jesus said and everything Jesus commanded us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus and to the Father. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Scriptures. You can't understand the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit. That's why for some people, when they read the Scriptures or read the Bible for the first time, they don't understand a thing it's saying because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings order out of chaos into our lives. Some of our lives are pretty chaotic, but the Holy Spirit means to bring order. And into our worship. Worship is not supposed to be a chaotic mess. It's supposed to be passionate. It's supposed to be zealous, but not a chaotic mess. You can read Corinthians about that. Holy Spirit brings order. Holy Spirit tells us what's going to come. The Holy Spirit translates our prayers. There's other things the Holy Spirit does. I've listed the most important ones. I guess we come to the question, do you have the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself these questions. Do you want to see others come to believe in Jesus? Do you want to be molded by the Spirit to change you and mature you? Do you want that? Do you want to be a part of God's team, His church, and carry out the mission to make disciples of the whole world? Do you want to do that? Do you love Jesus and want to serve Him and follow Him? If you answered yes to those questions, and I know you did, I just know you did, that is a sure indication that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. Now, you may grieve Him at times. You may push Him to the side. But if you let Him, the Holy Spirit would do all those things and more. But right now, this is an indication to me that the Holy Spirit is in your life. And that's a good thing, isn't it? When you become a Christian, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, enters your life. Now, we believe that when you baptize a baby, an infant, the Holy Spirit comes into that child's life. It's going to reap benefits when they can do other things other than cry and spit up and fill a diaper. We had adult baptisms in the 9:30 service. They were already believers. They already had the Holy Spirit. So they were being baptized as a seal that the Holy Spirit was given them, as a continuing acknowledgement of the promise of the Holy Spirit, and because God commanded it. So when you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, He's a guest in your life. You let Him in the front door, and now He wants to go into every room of your house, of your life. He wants to remodel you. He wants to reshape you according to what blueprint? According to the model and blueprint of Jesus Christ as He walked this earth. He wants you to look more and more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life right now. This is what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit, to have Him fill every avenue, every room of your life, to animate you. In a sense, you don't get more of the Spirit. He gets more of you. That's what's happened. Why is God giving us the Holy Spirit? Why is He giving to people of grace and to us collectively? Why is He doing that? Well, 60 years ago, the United States Navy envisioned and carried out the building of the greatest troop carrier ship that has ever been seen on this earth. It was called the SS United States. It was designed to carry 15,000 troops. It was to be faster than any ship of its size had ever been, so it could avoid any kind of torpedoes or anything like that. It could carry more fuel and more supplies than any ship that ever carried a soldier ever carried. And it was built. The only thing is, it never carried a single soldier, not once. It was turned into a luxury liner for celebrities and heads of state. 600 staterooms, four dining areas, three bars, two theaters, first fully air-conditioned passenger ship. Now, here's the point about that. The church, and we're fully air-conditioned, I know, but the church was never meant to be a luxury liner just serving our needs. It's supposed to be a troop carrier. It's supposed to go out on a mission. And this church is supposed to carry us 1,000 members into the world to carry out the mission that Christ wants us to do. We have a vision statement. We've identified three words, and to me, they're right on. Connect, grow, and serve. Connect, grow, and serve. I think of connect as the most important of them, but they're all important. Connect, our mission and our vision for what we're supposed to do, but our mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ so they become believers of Him, so they know the great blessing of knowing Him and serving Him and following Him. Then there's grow, that we grow in knowledge of the Word of God and in maturity in incorporating all that Jesus teaches us into our own life. And we want to see our people do that. We want to see you do that. And then serve. Serve God by serving other people. And we can serve God right here in our own locale and even further away. And I want to tell you how some of the ways we do that. We're going to see an announcement about a new way to serve God from Grace Lutheran here locally. But locally, we also serve by some of you go and change light bulbs for elderly people that can't reach them anymore. Or you cut bushes, or you help them with their computers. We serve each other in a myriad of ways. You know, every week this is going on. Every week, members are helping members and helping other people in the community. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you say so? That's part of our mission here, that we help one another. Look how they love one another. That's what I wanted to be said of us. But we also are serving God far away from this place. Not so far away, in Chattanooga, where we're trying to see a church develop, a church in a cross-cultural, at least for the Missouri Synod, place. And we want to see it. Yeah, we're supporting that. We're helping with that. And then how about Peru, where we've been active and we've had members go to Peru, and where the missionary will be coming in August, I think it is. Yeah, August. That's part of our mission. This is part of what we're supposed to be about. Connect, grow, serve. In a sense, we're to become like those early Christians who looked, first of all, they looked upward, and then they looked outward. And they said no to concentrating on their own personal needs and being obsessed by them, so that they could be a part of the mission that God has given us. By the way, that's the temptation always of Christians, to be obsessed by your own needs, your anxieties, the worries of life. It chokes out the word, chokes out the mission that Christ has called us to be a part of. We are a team here at Grace. And you have to catch the vision or you're not going to be much use to God. Now, there are some Christians who persist in thinking that they can be kind of like lone rangers. They alone can serve God. But that was never God's intention. That's why he invented the church. That's why we have in the birthday of the church. God intended for Christians to be put together in a group so that they could be effective. Because he knew, God knew, he revealed to us, he never wanted us to go alone. That's never been God's plan. The Spirit convicts and then binds us together so that we can go in one direction with one mission and one passion and one zeal. We are one team. I think we have to ask ourselves this difficult question. If the Holy Spirit were removed from our church, from Grace, would things go on as normal? Or to put it another way, would 99% of what we do here now go unhindered? In other words, are we doing the things the Holy Spirit would have us do? Or are we doing our own thing? I'd like to think we're doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, but we need to constantly ask that question. Holy Spirit, are you guiding us? I refuse to believe that we're doing our own thing. And as much as in me lies, that will not be the reality as long as I'm pastor here. We will move at the Holy Spirit's beckoning. We have a powerful vision in what we want to do in Knoxville and the world. Connect, grow, serve, makes it. It's right. It's just using other words to say what God wants us to do. What he's always wanted us to do. Everyone who comes through these doors, members or guests, I will attempt to persuade and lead them to believe and adopt this mission for themselves. We are to make disciples of all peoples. We can move our world and our community in this little corner that God's placed us, but we can only move them if you're participating. If you realize that this vision is not just a church vision, it is to include all of you who have the Holy Spirit, because that is what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do, to be a part of a church, to be moved by a church, to serve God together with others. Team Jesus, right here, Grace Lutheran Church. Our marching orders, connect, grow, and serve. I urge you to become fully a part of this. And here's an important principle. Get this. Listen to this, because this is important. God gives power commensurate with the task. God gives power commensurate with the task. The greater the task, the greater the power he gives us. What do you hear that saying? You know, throughout the Word of God, we see this. We see this principle in action. So, you know what I hear this saying? We ought to attempt some great things. We ought to try some things. We ought to risk some things. We ought to put ourselves out there. Oh, yes, the enemy is always wanting to inundate us with our own lives, our own concerns, to look inward. But the Holy Spirit is always telling us to look outward, to do more, to try things. And then say, well, we can't do this. We don't have the resources. We don't have the power. We don't have the understanding. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we can do this. I've been a little caught short on this in some ways. I don't want to be any more in the future. If there is a plan, an orderly plan, that we can do to reach more people, let's do it. To serve more people, let's do it. You know, someone has said this, and I think it's true. Life is like a 10-speed bicycle. Most of us have gears we've never used. Right? So, Grace, I want to use more gears. I want to try more things. Most of all, I want us to be led by the Holy Spirit to have that passion to do what God wants us to do, to make disciples of all nations, people close to bias. I want to end my message today with a prayer, a very brief prayer, very brief. But I hope that you will kind of mimic me and pray it in your heart. I hope this is a way you will agree of how we should proceed as a church. So let us pray. Father, fill us with your Spirit, that thousands more may call Jesus Lord and Savior, and through us, that they may know that there is one true God in this world who wants to save and redeem us all. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen.